We are here to bring you everything and anything surrounding Porsche. I'm Mike.
I'm Aaron.
And this is P-Car Talk.
Welcome to another episode of P-Car Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm Aaron.
Let's thank our people.
Let's do it. We have our club member and Sir Roger Boys, Gabriel T, Matt W, Leslie N, Chris S, Steve J, Carl K, Ken S, Richard B, Aaron L, Matthew G, Matthew M, and Nick F.
Thank you, loyal Patreons. Something's coming for them, right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, so you did the design.
I did.
You showed me. Like, I think it's pretty badass.
15 iterations of the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know how it is. Like, you see something, and once you get the core design, then you start tweaking. I think you did a phenomenal job with it. That's going to be going out to who?
All the club member Sir Roger Boy people.
Correct. Okay. So the hat's going out to them. Now, is it a fitted snapback? What is it?
I believe it's a snapback.
Okay.
Classic fit.
Cool.
Like I've done in the past. So it's like half the height of a trucker hat.
Cool.
So it fits better.
Nice. Absolutely.
At least it fits my head, and that's kind of how we're judging things here.
That's a test model. Okay. Yeah. Excited to get those folks out something. Shield them from the sun, right? So we thought about hats since obviously it's spring, summertime. So when you guys get your hats, definitely shoot some pictures for us. Tag us on Instagram to all of our Sriracha Boy Club members. If you want to join and become one of those, maybe you'll get some stuff too, right? So
maybe.
We'll see what happens. Maybe on next round. Obviously, you're going to miss out on this one. So, and we always switch it up as far as what goes out. We don't, we won't reuse this probably.
Never.
Yeah. So whoever has this is going to have it. It's just, I think in a way it's kind of fun and easier too, right? Instead of just kind of like, and it's fresh. That way it's kind of, what if you're a Sriracha Boy member and you have been for a while, like you don't need three of the same hats. That doesn't make any damn sense, right?
Or another hoodie that looks exactly the same.
Yeah, so that's the main reason why. So if you come in late and you're like, oh, man, I wanted to get that last year's hat or whatever, it's like, well, tough shit, man. You should have already been in there. But anyways, let's move forward. Porsche. Talk about people having a hard time selling stuff.
Yep.
So they're having a hard time reselling first-gen Taycans. I'm sure you're not shocked by this at all.
No.
Just a couple examples I pulled. Now, these are non-accident cars. Just as a quick internet search, 2020 Porsche 4S for sale for $54,000.
Okay, that's...
Yeah, no accidents. That one's kind of a higher mile car. That was 105 miles, but there was another one, 4S, with 41,000 miles for sale for $58,000.
So be a smart shopper.
Yeah, just do some research. But anyways... Or be even a smarter shopper and not buy these, because the main reason why they're sitting around is it probably because people are doing their research. So the second gen Cayennes that are going to be delivered, obviously all of the information has come out about them. Yeah. They've launched it. Their batteries are lighter.
The Taycans, you say Cayennes, but yeah.
Oh, did I? Sorry.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute.
Taycan.
Yeah, you got
Cayenne.
It.
Oh, because I have Cayenne on the brand.
Yeah,
that's
did.
Why. Sorry. Taycan. I stand corrected. Yes. So rewinding. Yep. 4S. They're sitting around on the lot because people have probably done their research. The new ones that are coming out, they're more efficient.
Yep.
The batteries are lighter and they're more powerful.
So, I mean, so the new gens are killing the old gens.
Yeah.
But that's like almost standard car practice.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe,
to a certain degree, but
maybe
I think
not to this.
Yeah, we talked about this with technology base, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I think we used the example of like plasma TVs or whatever. Yeah. Like, this is exactly what we're not geniuses by saying this. Everybody predicted this, not just us.
Yeah.
We knew this was going to happen. Probably even everybody who didn't even buy the first gen of these things knew this was going to happen. The technology is going to get better.
Now,
it's going to get better.
Something that would be cool, and I guess the architecture is going to be close. If they could swap in the batteries, like if that's an option, an upgrade option for the owners.
Could be, but there's a price associated with that.
Yeah, that's true.
So then it puts you in a range of like, why not just buy the new one, right?
Yeah.
So, and you know, from our inside sources have told us those batteries are very expensive.
Well, but they're also not going to give you, I mean, that's market. So they're not going to give you whatever you think it's worth. They're going to give you whatever the market's worth in that Taycan zone.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, like So the real losers, obviously, are the consumers in this. Anybody who was first to market and bought this thing and was a real believer in it, and you hung on to it, let's just say 2 or 3 years,
yeah,
you lost $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, basically.
So I think the better lesson here is maybe lease it.
Yeah.
For the year, then flip, then go to something else with these CVs.
Which is an outlier for Porsche, though, because, like, usually status quo for Porsche is not to lose that much depreciation. You know, like, that's like Rolls-Royce depreciation, 70 Gs and, like...
Except if you have a turbo, then your turbos are kind of the same boat.
Yeah, well, they've tanked, too, like, yeah, those things. So the main issue is, obviously, what we said, the new tech coming in is better. There's people either waiting for that, and they're not buying those. So even after the new ones come out, and not to mention there's has been issues with that first gen too. It was, I don't want to say prototype, because obviously it's not. It was a released vehicle. It was out on the street, but there were some bugaboos with it. They fixed some stuff, you know, had some range issues. They fixed, you know, tried to work on all that stuff, had some software bugs. But I think the biggest thing from what we've heard from people who are at Porsche,
yeah,
even after just 3 or 4 years, there's like batteries that need to be replaced in these Taycans. Like, actually, they just will not work. Like, they need a brand new battery, and people are either A, paying out of pocket for them, or just letting them be paperweights. And that sucks.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can, yeah, do about it. But then, yeah, definitely leaves a bad taste in your mouth for, like, well, let me get Gen 2.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, yeah, especially if you're one of the people who, A, got burned by it, or close to somebody who got burned by it, now it's the boogeyman. That's the Taycan boogeyman, right? Now, yep, every Porsche seems to have its own, like, you know, IMS bearings, whatever, you figure it out. But, like, that one's the, oh, well, you know, the new one's obviously probably going to be great. It's going to put all those worries to bed, I'm sure. But I'm circling to and narrowing down and working myself into this is what happens to all of those first gen Cayenne. I mean, guys, I keep saying Cayenne, Taycans.
That's a good question. I mean, unless there's somebody that comes out with a
ship them back to
battery.
Europe.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I really don't know what you do with them all, because the demand is super low.
V8 Pan American version.
Manual swap.
Manual swap. There we go.
Oh, God. That would be hilarious. I mean, they may start getting so cheap, Tavares might do something like, yeah, that to them, or, you know.
Drift car.
Yeah. I just thought that was interesting. You know, this is an overnight developing. This has been going on. I just thought it was a good opportunity to speak about it, just because of all the things that we've heard from friends and people and resales, and these things are basically just... If it's on a Porsche lot, it's just taking up space. And if it's on a secondhand lot, it's just taking up space.
Definitely taking up space.
Yeah, I don't really know what you do with something like this. It's almost kind of like...
I always said it's a throwaway car. I mean, it's a consumable. They're just...
Yeah. What happened to all those plasma TVs?
I guess that's
the same fate, yeah, essentially, right?
So, they'll be side
the
by side.
The crusher?
Soon, yeah.
There's probably some field in Area 51 in Nevada where all the TVs are at and all the...
Yeah, they're just rebuilding the alien spaceships.
And just throwing stuff into a pit, and it's just being, like, turned into a space shuttle. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, it's going to be pretty wild. I remember, and I think you said this too, when they first came out, and of course, when they were new and sexy, everybody's going to have one, you're going to see them. But, like, even not after they were new, like, in between the transitional period, meaning before there was even a release, before the second gen was even coming out, I wasn't seeing as many on the road as that we were, yeah, in the first couple years. And maybe that speaks to the lack of public interest in them.
Maybe. Yeah, I haven't really seen. And even now there's enough that I notice them, but nothing. It's because they're not cheap. That's why.
Yeah.
It's not the level that the other automakers have done where it's at a price point for everybody.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's a very much a Porsche thing, because you don't really see a ton of Porsches. Maybe Macans, mostly some Cayennes, mm-hmm, when you see Porsches. But outside of that, it's almost the same factor. It's like it's at a price point where it doesn't make sense for,
yeah,
most folks to have something that's not really range-worthy, practical in some instances for everybody, and then it's not an SUV or anything like that.
Are you surprised as a whole? And this is more of like an EV overall thing, that the entire market's kind of dropped off a little bit. There's been a significant showing of consumers speaking with their dollars and not making those purchases as they were so heavy, maybe let's just say 3-4 years ago.
Yeah. It doesn't really surprise me, just because I think everybody's kind of saturated, and now to go charge your vehicle somewhere is something, you know, it's, there's a line, there's like a gas station, it's taking forever. There's a lot of the things that kind of everybody talked about, like, this is probably going to be a pain point, and it's a pain point.
Yeah.
Outside the fact that, I mean, the prices have come down. They were a little high, but.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. There's choices now from a lot of different auto manufacturers, right?
Even though everybody's like, oh, Tesla's got it. I don't know.
But the infrastructure hasn't changed a whole lot. Meaning, like, so now there's even more of these EVs to choose from. So price point is down.
Yep.
But I think the same problem is there. Even if there's been forward progress with that problem, you've saturated the market with more vehicles that need more charging. Yep. So where you may have made some headway before, you lost all of that headway because now there's just more auto manufacturers making them. And there's even more of them still coming out.
And I don't know that everybody offers like a quick charging. And even that quick charging is not that fast.
Exactly.
That's marketing.
Exactly. And in the rare instance, I mean, a couple times a year, I mean, I wouldn't consider us travelers that we go exceptionally far, because there's certainly people that drive further distances on a normal basis, meaning like going road tripping with their family on vacations every summer and going to multiple places or visiting family in, you know, very far states away. But we travel significantly enough, especially during rally season. Obviously, we're not taking EVs, but in the thought process of that, taking a 10, 14-hour trip, that's going to add time. Not telling anybody anything they don't already know.
Yep.
And I think that has still not changed. and I think that because of that, I think people have grown tired of that issue.
And it's double the wait time, too, because you have to think about it. It's not just charging time. It's waiting on if there's free charging stations. Mm-hmm. And if there's a place you can find that's...
Yeah, that they're working.
That they're working.
They got 10 units, but three of them are working, right? Like, that's usually the common problem. They're like, oh, well, there's 10 superchargers. Like, oh, actually, only three of them are working. And the line's 8 deep on each of them. So it's like,
Electrify
awesome.
America went to, like, electrify, like, California, Florida, and that's about it. Maybe some New York. Like, it was it.
Yeah.
That's not really panned out. I don't think, at least any, even in the places that there are metropolises for with a bunch of EVs, it's not been enough. It's like gas stations. It just hasn't been an infrastructure set up enough. And we said that, and everyone said that, and it's here.
Yeah. It just seems like, you know, not to get in the political side of things, that, you know, the people that are out there making those decisions and have made these decisions now, this is years ago they made these decisions, because now we're paying the price for them. It's more of kind of like action before thought, right? They acted before they thought about exactly what needed to happen, instead of thinking it out and not really caring if it was a good launch or a great success or a failure to launch, right? Like, they're like, oh, well this is going to happen, and we have to, you know, it may be a tough time. It may be a tough 10 years until we adapt, but we're doing it. And it's like, dude, I don't think that's the answer, man. Like, because you got a lot of people kicking and screaming now. They're like, Matt, told you so. Told you so.
Waiting on that.
You know, told you this was going to fail.
Yep.
And it did. So now it's a non-starter for a lot of people.
We can move on from EVs dying to EVs killing other things.
Yeah, no killing. All right. So next topic, the EU, you know, that a whole nother thing. You posted this on Instagram, you know, reposted it. Death to the Boxster and Cayman combustion engine cars. So the story behind it is cybersecurity in Europe. Basically, come July 1st, they're implementing to all auto manufacturers or anybody who's producing a car, there has to be basically type of software that your car isn't hackable just because there's so much information that can be stolen from the car and safety issues, meaning with the autopilots on the cars and adaptive cruise, they're afraid that these hacking people are going to take control of these cars and hold them hijacked, crash them into things, whatever you want to call it. And the Porsche Boxster and Cayman, the architecture of that car, it's not just a software issue. It goes deeper than that, meaning the cybersecurity law goes deeper than that, where it's really based down to the architecture of the car all the way down to, like, its nuts and bolts. There's all the type of hackable stuff in this car.
So it's really just targeting the ICE cars.
This is another way around, right? Yeah, exactly. That's where I was going with this. So instead of they're like, no, can't get anybody to buy in on the electric thing, we're just going to kill them this way, right? So we'll develop a law that basically just outlaws these cars from being produced because now they're hackable. Okay, give me a break. Anyways, this is just a European thing. This is Porsche Boxster Cayman is going to be sold in the U.S. still until they're ready to launch the EV. And then I'm sure we'll get the notice. Yeah, we'll get the notice.
Because why would they make just for the U.S.?
They won't. But they want to. They still have that architecture. They're still making them. So they're still going to pump them out. A couple interesting things, you know, like people quick to say, like, when something dies, they're like, oh, prices are going to go up. They're not. They make a lot of these things. They're not going to go up. Because they're going to kill them in Europe, you know, like maybe initially because people, there'll be a knee-jerk reaction to it, but it'll stabilize once people realize, like, dude, there's enough of them to go around if you still want one. It's not like they're so scarce that you can't go bag one. Now, that may change in 10 or 20 years from now, but right now, they're okay.
They're vintage, yes.
Well, I mean, who knows? Like, obviously, the thing I was thinking about this when they obviously implementing that law, and I understand it's for new cars, I get that.
Yep.
But if they're pushing it's for a safety reason, wouldn't everything else leading up to that,
under that, yeah,
be unsafe now? Like if you owned, let's just say you owned a 2023 Cayman and you lived in Europe, isn't your car at danger now? And aren't you in jeopardy? But they're not worried about your safety. They're just worried about anything new coming. So if you read between the lines, it sounds like a lot of BS because if it was really a safety issue and they were worried about people's safety, they would pull them all, right? Like they would just not let your car be registrable, which would cause a whole nother fallout. What would people do?
Yeah, this seems like it's a law directed at the auto manufacturers.
Absolutely.
That's it. The safety of the citizens.
Although in their article they write for that, oh, it's for the safety for the public, and it's all this, like, bullshit, man. This is not for us. This is for you to force the auto manufacturer's hands. And it sucks because they're pulling the soul out of every, you name, even if Porsche's not your favorite auto manufacturer, they're pulling the soul out of every single one of these things. It's crazy to think about this too, because can you imagine living in Germany? You don't necessarily have to be German, but living in Germany.
Yeah.
And you want to drive the Austrian roads and you want to get yourself a nice Boxster 4.0 and have the top down and all that stuff. And you got your order for one and they're like, nine, not happening. And you're like, what? The factory is right there. What do you mean I can't get one?
There's an EV.
You're like, I literally can place my order and go pick it up like next week when it's ready. Just tell me. I'll walk to the factory and pick my car up. They're like, no, you can't. Well, we're making them still. I see them rolling out, but we're sending those actually to other places in the world. We cannot sell them here. I compare this to, like, you know, if you love your Corvettes, you know, like some law comes through the U.S. and now, you know, you're going to Bowling Green and you can't pick up your Corvette and everybody's like living in that town. It's like, hey, bro, sorry, brother, man. You can look at it all you want, man, but this thing's going to Saudi Arabia, man. We you know, we can't sell Corvettes here no more, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what that would be crazy. Like. Like, you're like, are you serious?
That fact, I thought it was just, like, stopping in general, but, yeah, I guess if you see them going everywhere else.
They're still going to make them because that's the only place they're made in Germany. But they're going to still they're just shipping them all out of there. It's the difference.
So somebody's going to have to figure out a way to import.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to have to do the old U.S. Montana swindle. Like, whatever whatever the equation for Montana and Europe is, that's what they're going to have to do.
There's just going to be a bunch of Montana plates in Germany now.
Yeah, they're going to be like, you know, what is it? Switzerland or something's neutral, right? Like they'll have to like pick them or something, like get a Swiss plate, register it there, but keep it in Germany or something, you know, whatever, whatever Luxembourg, whatever their
Luxembourg would be close enough,
whatever their Montana is, right? Yeah. They'll have to, I need to open an LLC here.
Montana, Germany, Luxembourg.
Gonna strudel. We're going to sell strudel here. Yeah. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. You guys ever heard of schnitzel? I guess think about it.
Big business. But yeah, it's kind of nuts, right? Like all of this stuff that's going on, it's like there's this governmental battle against all of these auto manufacturers, and they're just constantly having to battle it. I mean, we already know, like, this isn't new by any means. That's why architecture on the car has to change so much. Like, oh, well, you know, if you hit a pedestrian, they need to be able to bounce off your hood and not, like, die. It's like, come on, are you serious right now? Like, if somebody gets hit by a car, the likelihood of living goes down drastically. Like, I mean, it's low.
Yeah.
Like a low impact human impact. How often does that happen?
Hopefully they make that carbon fiber bounceable. We'll see.
But I mean, that's changed car architecture from the dawn of time, you know, from the 70s, 80s, 90s. They're like, oh, that's why the hood line is like this. Oh, that's why this is that way.
That's
why
this is off the ground.
Yeah. It's like, that's why it looks like this. It's like, golly, man. You know, oh, that's why we put bumperettes in here. That's why I put styrofoam in your bumper. Like, God.
Well, at least they started fixing those type of things. Like, instead of putting it on the outside, they figured out how to incorporate it in the inside.
Yeah. Well, for the longest time, I mean, Porsche was such a small company. It was, those weren't necessary. It was the opposite way around. Yeah. Like, Europe was, like, less safe than the U.S. according to the times, if you look at it. Mm-hmm. We were the ones that required all the bumperettes and all that crazy stuff. And now, like, the coin is flipped. Now they're the crazy ones, and all of this stuff, like EPA, all of this, they're the nuts ones. And, like, they're forcing our governments almost kind of like, well, hey, the Joneses are doing that. I guess we got to do it. You know, it's like one of those kinds of things. Like, we can't let France have everything. We got to do EVs, too.
Yeah, I guess you guys don't want to save the planet.
Exactly.
That's the conversation.
We got a lot more land than you boys. We'll be all right. Hey, anytime you want it, come get it, right? We took it from you guys from back in the day and sent you across the river. So anytime you want to come back across, just let us know.
Hopefully a bunch of these oil manufacturers will be getting behind the e-fuels.
That's the only thing we can really hope for at this point, because there is such a full steam ahead, which seems so strange. But not everybody, because we've talked about it before. Toyota's not on board. You know, they do make some EV stuff, if you consider Lexus, because Lexus does have EV SUVs. So that's an arm of Toyota. But most of their stuff is just, they're sticking with hybridization. You know, like, they're making that standard. That's not even, like, an option. Like, if you see the new 4Runner, you know, the Sequoia, all of that.
Super efficient. Like, because we were in.
It's the V6 twin turbo hybrid thing package.
Something in San Francisco that was hybrid, and it was... Maybe it was Highland or something, and it was getting like 38 miles a gallon. So, I mean, that's the easiest solution so far. I don't know why.
I think that's the balance, right? Like, that's the balance where I think it needs to be at. I think we should have adopted it a lot sooner. I think a lot of, and we could have, I say we, all of us, meaning like auto manufacturers included, if they would have sold more hybrids and got on board and like stopped selling all the other stuff, maybe we wouldn't even had to have this EV revolution, right? Like, maybe people are like, well, these things are actually getting like 60 miles a gallon. Do we really need EV cars, you know?
Yeah, but without Elon saving the world, I don't think we'd been there with the EVs, because he proved that could be done.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so he ran the 4-minute mile there. So then outside of that, if I don't think it would have been a move by anybody else if he had made the
There
first.
Was no need to.
Yeah.
Like, he was a trendsetter, right? He was a disruptor as the corporate words like to say, he was a disruptor. But yeah, I mean, for the better, or maybe, and for certain things, to force other manufacturers to explore different technology. I don't think EV is still not the answer. But with all of this, maybe we wouldn't have explored different kinds of fuels, right? Like an e-fuel.
It's true.
Like that. So that all still spurts down to Elon's big bang with his whole Tesla situation, like, has you know, you go this far out, now you have Porsche and other people and oil refinery people thinking about additional and different kinds of fuels.
Well, they just don't want to make money. I mean, that's what they're thinking. That makes sense.
Which is crazy because this goes back to them just not wanting to spending the money before because they could have done this years ago. Like they said that the stuff isn't revolutionary that they're figuring out. Like
yeah, the process,
it just costs. It's costing less now than it would have 10, 20 years ago to do it. But if they would have just bit the bullet and done it then, we might not even be in this situation, right? Because if you think about what zero emissions, right, from a combustion engine car 20 years ago, if we're really being green and thinking about the planet, like everybody should have been on board from that. And it shouldn't have been about money, right? Money shouldn't have mattered. Yep.
Captain Planet over there.
Right? I'm just saying, if we're really, like they put that bulletin and they put that attachment to everything, but I think anybody with a brain knows that's total bullshit. They don't care about the planet. This is all, everybody's working an angle. Like, so who's ever pushing this crap, they have ties to money it's going to be lining their pockets. That is how all of this crap works. That's how it is. Because if it really was just for the benefit of a greater community and a greater planet and all this kind of stuff, the world would have got together and just did it and spent the world's money, and currency wouldn't have mattered, right?
It's true.
So it is about money. Anyways, I digress. So more EV talk. So, and this is interesting. While I was doing this research, it just took me down this rabbit hole of EV stuff. So I apologize if I'm driving you guys nuts out there, but deal with it. So the Macan coming out. Yep. Obviously, we know there's been an EV release. We know all this has been talked about. So an interesting comparison. The cheapest ICE Macan EV you could buy was right around $58,000. Like, not obviously optioned out, just bare bones, whatever they give you buy. The cheapest EV Macan you can buy is $78,800. About 20 grand more.
Okay.
So there's been a $20,000 markup, and they've taken away a combustion engine. So what they're doing, what I've read, obviously, they're giving you something that's actually less convenient and charging you more for it. Meaning you have to charge.
But where you do get a frunk in a trunk. So there's that. You have more
big
space.
Big win. And again, circling back to people that are going to buy it. So now we've gone out of, I guess, the sports sedan, the Taycan. I mean, they're still making it, meaning our conversation has left there. We have gone now, speaking to anyone on the market, small crossover SUV, regular SUV, those are supposed to be the more practical vehicles. Those are supposed to be the daily commuters. Those are supposed to be the long-distance haulers. I'm going to mom and dad's house in, you know, upstate New York from Florida. I'm going, this Macan still can't do it. I mean, it still has to charge. Even if it gets 500 miles of range, it still has to charge.
Yeah.
So they're charging you $20,000 more and still putting you in the same position you were with the Taycan, but you're just charging less times, I guess. Right?
Yeah, because it's more efficient.
So Bloom says, orders are flying out the door, is what he quotes. He's like, we've received over 10,000 orders already. It's overwhelming, is what he says.
All right.
Now, is that a marketing smoke and mirrors thing, or are they really feeling overwhelmed? I don't know the answer to that, but what I do know the answer is, you spend $1 billion building an EV company or building to make these things. If 10,000 orders is overwhelming, we got a bigger problem on our hands, because you should be cranking those things out. You should want 100,000 orders, because you need to pay for that factory, dude, because the damn Taycans aren't doing it.
Well, they did sell, what, double their number or whatever it was from Taycans when they originally
But I think that was also a marketing move, right? Yeah. Oh, we're only going to sell this many, and then we'll see how it goes. Yeah. Because remember, that's how they pitched it at the launch. Mm-hmm. That was verbatim what they said. We'll sell 10,000 and see how it goes. They knew damn well they were going to sell more than that. They so knew
they,
damn
they did
well.
40,000, so.
Yeah, and they're like, well, we're going to test the waters. Come on, man. You, well, know, it's you don't build enough. And that you don't build a billion-dollar factory to build 10,000 cars to test the water.
Yeah, it's,
you don't do that.
It went all in there.
Yeah. You're like, eh, I just want to try a couple things, but we need the best stuff in the world to do it. So how do you feel about the price point difference between that? Are you, I mean, I know it's new stuff. I know it's architecture, but okay. It's EV. It's combustion. Those are two different things. I get it. If it put this in perspective, if it was just another version of a combustion engine car, could they warrant a $20,000 hike? I think people would be pretty pissed off about
unless
that,
unless it
right?
was a GTS. Yeah, I mean, the only thing that they're doing and they showed it with a Taycan was power for dollar ratio, and that's it. And it's not a, it's not like a, even though it is a new car, and I get that point, but I feel like they're doing a power equivalency of like, this is like a GTS, so this can be priced like a GTS, yeah. not an entry-level car. And they might have missed that where they maybe it's not, wasn't cheap enough to engineer and produce where they can't get it below that. But even if they had to suck it up for this first round to get it 50, maybe even a little bit that comparable to their base, that would have been a big win for them. Yeah. I think because I don't know that.
You know what that's called in business terms? That's the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
They need to eat that, dude. That, like
the
that,
first 10,000.
Put that back on your customer. Like there's no way. Like, yeah. Yes, I know we've discussed the number of the manufacturing plant, how much it costs, et cetera. Yes, that money has to be recuperated, but it doesn't have to be recuperated this year.
But I mean, if they have 10,000 orders, then price is not a factor.
Well, yeah, I'm saying like that's probably 10,000 for the most expensive. Like, they're probably doing the whole thing. Well, we're only taking orders for the turbo right now.
Yeah,
like that, and they're doing the whole like, hey, but in
it's limited,
in,
but it's
in,
not.
in 12 months, please come back because then we will release the lower the peasants model if you're interested. And it's like, okay, well, I'm in front of you, and you're saying I can get a turbo. All right, I'll put my deposit for that then. That's exactly what they're doing to people. I mean, I hope they sell. Like, I really do. I hope they do well. I don't want them to fall on their face with this thing. I think it would be terrible for Porsche. Like, if these things don't do well, of all the money they have been printing for all the things they have been doing, this could hurt them a little bit if this whole EV thing goes south for them as a whole. Meaning, like, they're going to sell cars. Don't get me wrong. It's not like the factory is going to come to a halt. People are going to get laid off or I'm not, you know, or furloughed or whatever. That's not going to happen. My point is, you know, if they're thinking they're going to make their mark and these things do well below that mark, I think that spells bad news for them.
I mean, I think 10,000 cars at that price is like $800 million. So that's something like that.
Yeah.
Not a bad run for the first hit.
Yeah. I mean, again, is it smoke and mirrors? We don't know.
Where did they get 25,000 orders? Who knows? Not exactly. I mean,
yeah. And then the next thing is rollout, right? Like, well, how long is it going to take the rollout? Are we going to get a bulletin from them halfway through the run? Hey, we're running out of this now. Like, sorry for the delay. Your cars are going to be. You're supposed to be delivered in January. You're going to see it in June. Like,
I didn't look at the architectures, but both the DOT 2 Taycans and the Macans, same thing. Are they the same architecture?
Yeah.
Are they a little bit different?
They're a little different. Okay. I mean, not exactly. I mean.
So, I mean, they have the same parts on hand, the manufacturing
there's shared DNA there. You know, as far as, again, the rollout with that stuff. Like,
once the key sign here will be once you're driving on the road and you see two or three of them just like you would a normal Macan everywhere.
Yeah.
That's how we know.
I still think that's going to take time before that happens. Even if they release 20,000 of them that hit next year, they still won't be in an abundance like that everywhere.
The other thing, too, is this automatically gets them a $20,000 increase in the EU because they're taking away any other option you have to buy a lower-end vehicle.
That's true.
So now they're making 20 grand profit, 20,000 euros profit instantly.
Yeah, and we don't live over there, but I wouldn't imagine their infrastructure, or electrical infrastructure, is any better than ours. I mean, do you think they're ready to charge all these cars there too? I mean, I'm sure they're having charging issues too.
I'd be curious to see where all they're running chargers, because they don't. I mean, everything's block and city centers, and I'm sure there's places to charge, but I don't think it's.
I mean, even thinking from a geographical standpoint, like think about that. Like,
it's well set up.
Everything's so jam-packed, and what I mean, like, country-wise, like, when you could cross borders so quickly there, it's like, okay, well, who's responsible to build chargers in that country now? That country is?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like, now you don't go to that country because they have a crappy charging system? Like, you know, they could get pretty dicey over there with that kind of stuff, too.
Or it's like a, just an in-between, like, there's not really a charger in between France and Germany.
At this point. You're like, exactly. You're
like, well, I'd really like to go there today, but I don't know if I can get there and back or all the way there. Like,
I guess the train it is.
It's been pretty reliable. Well, there we go.
Yeah. But anyways, I thought that was an interesting stat to bring up with the $20,000 hike slash difference there with... And we're talking base. Now, I know a newer car is going to bring, like you said, different tech, different stuff. So you're going to get a lot more probably for that base number still. But you're also going to get the charging issues that go along with it.
But unless they do something where they... Because, I mean, you're still getting a new car warranty. But unless they do something different with the warranties, if this battery problem really is a thing and no one's done a class action lawsuit or anything crazy like that, that would make more sense to be a Toyota in that perspective. You follow them and how you do your production. Why not do like a 10-year warranty on these newer cars?
Yeah. Know better than that.
If you're going to do
that, they would bankrupt their ass if they did that. Like everybody would sign up to buy them and they'd drive them into the ground because they're like, oh, well, if I got a 10-year warranty on this battery, I'm going to get me three of them.
Yeah, but I mean, their cost to get a battery is not going to be the same cost.
You're right. But the fact of the servicing of it and pulling it out and putting that all on the house, I mean...
But if you have a good product, you're not going to be worried about that because...
I still think that they probably are unsure of the longevity of their product because clearly the three-year mark is when the first-gen Taycan batteries seem to be dying.
So this new gen probably 6 years then.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I mean, you know, when they're focused on building... electric GT cars. I mean, who knows what's going on? Like, who knows what the future holds, right? We're going to be flying around here before we know it.
Macan,
at least once or twice, maybe before the battery goes. But
Macan Turbo GT.
Yeah.
Calling it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's... Dude, I know we've been doing this plenty of years now, and, like, I just had, like, you know, a memory jog when you said that. Of joking around when before the Taycan even came out, when there was just talk of it, like we knew it was coming, it just hadn't been released yet. And we joked around about like them making the car they just made.
Yep.
And then they made it. It was a practical joke. It's like, man, they're just going to GT everything. They're just going to build this. What are they going to do? You know? And I'm not going to pull the episode. We'd have no way to do that, but it was probably 150 episodes ago. And I said something to the effect of like, oh, yeah, they'll probably put like a roll cage in it, strip it out, you know, do all this dumb stuff and like do a 4-seater car. But it's, you know, still heavy, but they're going to call it a GT car. They did all of those things.
Yep. They did every one of them. Thanks for listening.
What else is my crystal ball going to tell me? No, I mean, that's predictable stuff like Porsche, like. They were predictable by doing that. They're like, they're going to make that. And I mean, if it had wheels, they're going to put a GT badge on it.
I mean, you know, that's happening. Yeah. I still feel like they have not made it an option. It's not the M option that BMW has done. They do a good job every time, even if we think it's silly.
Well, yeah, no, I agree with you. And to support what you're saying is, I do appreciate that they haven't diluted the GT brand. However, the ridiculousness of them doing the stuff they do, and now they're protecting it by the price. But let's just discuss another ridiculous thing that's a combustion engine car, the Turbo Cayenne GT or Turbo GT. Turbo GT. That thing's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculously fast, but it's stupid expensive. It weighs like 8,000 pounds, and you can get a lightweight option to put a carbon fiber roof on it to make it weigh 7,900 pounds. That makes a lot of sense. But it's a GT car. You know, you could go to Smokey's GT in that probably.
Well, good call. Like, what if we start limiting there? Yeah, that's true.
You're like, technically, it's a GT car. I mean,
but at Smokey's GT, you're going to see something trailering a 3RS.
Yeah, I know. That's I know, but my point is just. And I think we joked around about that thing too. When they were, I was like, what are they going to make? Like a Cayenne GT?
Yep.
Yeah, we did. You got any good other ideas? Hey, P-Car Talk, you got any other good ideas for us? And now they got this 7-seater SUV thing coming out. It's going to be full EV. That's probably going to be a monstrosity. And just since we were on EV talk, I don't really want to talk about that. I just wanted to make a blurb about it. But I just think it's unique. I mean, I do totally agree. I'm glad they're not just putting a GT package on, like, meaning like, I don't know, let's just say a base 911. You're like, I want to buy a base 911, but I want the GT package on it. And they're like, okay, cool. We'll put center locks on it for you. We'll get you a fancy wing. And you know, you can upcharge some carbon buckets, and now it looks like a GT3, but it's not a GT3. Like, I think I don't want to say never
close, but it's not now. It was back in the day. They were close, the aero kits, but now they're not.
Yeah.
They're not even,
it's their own thing now.
Yeah.
And that's still a significant upcharge
yeah.
for that. I don't know why people option that, but still, like mean modern wise, I think it made more sense in the 996 and 997 era. I really don't see it in the 991, 992 where it makes sense. I think that car looks good enough as it is. It doesn't need anything extra. I feel like the lines in the 997 and 996 were maybe a little softer. If you wanted more of an aggressive looking car, the aero pack made sense for that car. But yeah, I hope they never do that. I don't want to say never. Anything's possible because, again, as we described before, they're publicly traded. All it's going to take is some board member genius. Hey, why don't we do what BMW's doing? We just put a GT badge on, charging our $10,000. It's like, oh, here we go. You know, that Armageddon, it's coming. You know, like, if that happens. Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully Porsche still has enough pull in that room where they're like, absolutely not, dude. Like, we can't, like.
About new.
Yeah. I have let you talk out of your ass at all of these board meetings. I am finally putting my foot down. That is enough out of you. You don't get to speak for two more meetings after that.
Pal.
Yeah.
All right, you're out of the game.
Yeah. Red card that man. He's gone. But yeah.
Red card.
Yeah, done. So I don't have anything else for this front half. I think we move to the back half, take our break for our paying members to enjoy the second half of the show and talk about some cool stuff.
Let's do it. See you there.
And we're back. All right, so interesting thing. This is just a fun fact. This isn't a topic to discuss, but it may turn into something after I tell you this. Went out to the Cayenne today, and this is why I had Cayenne in my brain earlier. I came up with saying Cayenne instead of Taycan.
Hey, it's Aaron, and I want to just thank you for listening to the podcast. There's actually more of the podcast. We do a whole other half, if not more, depending on what the topics are, over on patreon.com/speakartalk. Join the club, hear more of the podcast, be entered for the giveaways, be entered to get in the drive. There's a lot more that comes with it. So, again, if you want to support even more than you do, you can go to the website, like I mentioned, patreon.com/speakartalk, and you'll be on your way. Thank you.